discussing what's important.
These receivers have to do their part.
Show up on Sunday and see what you can do.
And having some fun along the way.
You know what they say about big feet, right?
Big socks.
Big shoes.
Big brain.
This is the Chase and Big Joe Show.
Well, Lottie freaking God!
With Chase McCabe and Big Joe Dubin.
Live and in living color in Nashville, Tennessee.
Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Release the hounds. Your sports live here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. And the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game on this Tuesday, this very, very rainy Tuesday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. We don't let rain bring us down. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier behind the glass. Jojo, what's going on?
It's a beautiful day, man. I don't care what you say, it might be raining out there, but in the words of the great Jimmy Buffett, wherever you go, always take the weather with you. That means you provide the sunshine and the spark. And the smiles. It's raining weather-wise. It may be miserable, but inside, it's absolutely beautiful. Now, take that and run with it, young man.
You are just Captain Positivity. I love it.
Got to be that way, man. Otherwise, the world will bring you down. Big time.
It does. It tries. That's for sure. But you know what? We're not going to let it do that. I'm excited to talk to our buddy Rick Stockstill, longtime MTSU coach. Was at Florida State this year. Obviously, he coached Reed Blankenship and several others that have won Super Bowls as Blue Raider alums over the past few years. But Reed Blankenship recently winning the Super Bowl with the Eagles just a couple of nights ago. So we're going to talk to Coach Stock about that and much more coming up at 10 o'clock. Going to be really good to catch up with him.
Well, not only that, but what was the stat? Six straight Super Bowls? MTSU's had a player in there. Is that right?
Yeah.
Did we read that correctly?
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Yeah.
It'll be good, you know, and that's got to be just the
right.
As a football coach, to have your guy on the biggest stage win a Super Bowl. I mean, it's got to be a great feeling.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Like when I see you dress yourself correctly, I get excited. I'm like, that's my guy. I mean, I took him from a pup to where he is now. So when you do that, I'm all excited. I feel empowered, and that's the word for today: empowerment.
You really did take me from a pup. I was like a stray on the street,
we got to give our buddy Greg Pogue a little credit too, man, because we took you in and molded you a little bit.
Yeah.
Then we put you in your little basket and sit you down the Cumberland River like Moses.
I was lucky. I had you and Pogue. I had, you know, Darren and Willie and yes. Benefield and Plaster. And I mean, I just got it from everywhere. So.
It was like six men and a baby. And you were the baby. That's my baby.
It's a baby. I eat babies.
So did I hear the Auburn's in town tonight?
They are. I'm actually going to go. I'm going to go to the game.
Are they ranked still one?
Yeah.
That's all. I'm a huge Bruce Pearl fan. You know
so
why?
So am I.
I'm a huge Bruce Pearl fan for an incident that happened 15 years ago. So he's a good dude. And I don't know. That's just kind of cool to see them number one rolling in here. But remember last year, they won the SEC tournament, then lost in the first round last year. So hopefully they don't do that again this year.
My thing about Bruce Pearl is, are Vols fans over it, or are they still secretly just like, why'd we let him go? I mean, and who knows if he's the coach he is, if he's, you know, at Tennessee this long and all that. So, I mean, we'll never know, but I mean, he's been at Auburn for close to 10 years, if not 10 years, right?
I think he started in 13 or 14.
Yeah.
At Auburn,
so, I mean, he's been there a
good
while.
His last year at Tennessee was 2011. They got beat by Michigan.
Yeah.
In the tournament, and it just ended badly. And I think that Tennessee has found – they wouldn't have found Rick Barnes, and they love Rick Barnes. So
sure.
I mean, Bruce got – I mean, he got in trouble. Cut and dry. He got in trouble, and that's it. But, you know, Tennessee went through, what, Donnie Tindall, Konzo Martin, and then they got Rick Barnes. And so I don't think any Tennessee fan would trade Rick Barnes for Bruce Pearl. It's not a knock on Bruce.
Yeah.
But Rick is their guy. He's taken him to unprecedented heights and everything else. I just think Rick is Tennessee's guy now. But I think it's the Bruce thing is like, why did you do it, man? Why did you lie? And then
oh, I know.
Now they've moved on. But good. I mean, he's done great at Auburn so far.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, look, he's got a team that I mean, obviously we know anything can happen in the NCAA tournament, but he's got a team now that's capable of winning the national championship. So, you know, so do a lot of teams, and a lot of those teams are coming out of the SEC. But, you know, UConn's still good. They're not going anywhere. I know Duke had a hiccup the other day, but they're still good. I mean, there's a lot. It's going to be a fun tournament. I know that much.
It's going to start here, baby.
So now we begin officially our talking about what the Titans are going to do at number one overall for the next 4 months or whatever it is. So that'll be fun. And there's going to be a lot of speculation. So we'll get into some of that throughout the show. But yeah, I've been chomping at the bit because you text this morning and you said you have to trust me. And I do trust you.
Right.
Our question of the day.
It is what ties into today, and I just tweeted it out too, and I do this every February the 11th, is that on this day in 1984, our question is going to be off of this, but this day on February 11th, 1984, the greatest concert that ever happened in Nashville, Tennessee took place tonight. Van Halen played the Municipal Auditorium. The damn place only seats 8,000-9,000, but I'm telling you, there were 500,000 people there with all the stories we're told. So it's a good topic. It's a rainy day to try to get nostalgic for a little bit for this concert. And the question is, what's the best concert you've ever been to in your entire life? It's fun to listen to people who've been to different shows and what they think the greatest concert is. But Van Halen with David Lee Roth on this day in 1984 came to Nashville. I think the tickets were $12.50. They were the biggest band in the world, not in Nashville or in North America, but the world. They had the number one album, number one video on MTV. They were massively huge. So how often does the biggest band in the world come into your backyard? And you get to go, and tickets were $12.50. I mean, it was amazing, amazing moment. And I repost this every year on my socials, and I loved so many people. Like, I was there. I wish I would have gone. My dad went there and everything. It was just a great story, a great moment in Nashville history on this day, February 11th, 1984. But that's, in my opinion, the greatest concert that's ever happened, ever taken place in Nashville. And so I was just curious what other people, because I like talking to the people about their genres and what they've been to and what they thought was great and what you thought the greatest concert was. So I'll ask you two boneheads. Chase, what's the greatest concert you ever went to?
Several. probably Paul McCartney. I mean, Paul McCartney was awesome. And the fact that he doesn't take a drink of anything throughout his set is pretty amazing.
Really?
Yeah. That's like a thing about him. Yeah, he was good. He was really, really good. I saw him probably 12 years ago, something like that.
God, has it been that long?
Yeah. At Bridgestone Arena. You know, Garth is just a heck of an entertainer.
But I need one that shocked. I mean, that you're still like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's McCartney. Paul.
Dr. Crane, you got one, buddy? Shakira?
No, yes. I was not Shakira. I wish. It was Luke Combs, I think, last year in March or April.
Okay.
At Nissan Stadium. He does, like, those Friday shows, you know, that are, like, very cheap. So I bought, like, a $75 ticket in club level. And it was funny. I had to do the morning shift on Saturday the following morning. And I think I went to bed at like 3.
That.
No, it was fine. It was actually one of the more memorable moments of, you know, producing on the weekends and also just trying to have a good time. And I remember Friday I went out and it was like, I don't know, a little rainy, a little damp. And then it ended up stopping. And I went to the concert. I think like Bailey Zimmerman was there. Luke Combs. They even did their own rendition of Diamond Rio, Meet Me in the Middle, and it was pretty cool. So with all that, I ended the night around 3 o'clock, went to bed for about 30 minutes to an hour, and woke up and went to work around 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Attaboy. That's getting it done.
It was fun.
That's what we call getting it done, right, JoJo?
To be young again. Ah, good for you. Yeah. But, I mean, it's a moment you'll remember forever, and you had friends with you, and that's the thing, man. It just these concerts transcend time. And it's a feeling in a moment, and you're with friends, and some have long passed and all that. And it's just, I don't know, when you think about it, like you with McCartney and you with Luke Combs, it makes you feel good. I mean, it's like, oh, man, that you actually did live, you know, that you did live in a moment that was amazing. And so that's just, you know, that's my moment.
I have to address a texter on the text line, and Based on his text history, I'm not really surprised by this statement, but I'm going to read it anyway. Matt Q said, Jimmy Buffett sucked, period. Matt, get out of here with that.
It's fine. That's fine. If you've got a text in that somebody sucks, then I feel sorry for you, man.
Yeah, I, you know, I just...
You're not going to rain on my parade, man. Nope. Today's a good day.
No. Please play Jimmy Buffett for the rest of the show, just for Matt.
You got it. I also have one more honorable mention. I went to the Exit Inn to see a buddy of mine perform with one of his, you know, I guess country music friends that he performs with. But there was the opening act. Her name was Taylor Austin Dye. And I don't know what it is about the Exit Inn.
I thought you were going to say Taylor Swift.
No. Oh, goodness gracious. But no, her name is Taylor Austin Dye, and her music is just different. And it's like a cool country music style different. And I don't know if it's the Exit Inn that made the atmosphere cool, whatever it is, but the acoustics, everything just so immersed into just like a I don't know, like family friend environment. It was super cool.
That's the best concert you've ever been to.
No, South I'm just, I said it's an honorable mention.
No,
Joe.
No honorable mentions, man. I need no, Luke number Combs, one.
Hey, if
Luke
he Combs wants to honorably it. Mention something, then he can do that. Don't rain on his parade.
I'm just saying Exit Inn is a solid venue.
It is. Oh, Exit Inn's awesome.
Undervalued.
It is.
I mean, the stories. Like, I just, you know, I mean, you want to get on my soapbox. I mean, like, I'm all about Nashville growing. But here's the problem I have. When you close places and then you don't do anything with them. Like, the Rock Block, like, they, you know, Gold Rush closed, Rotiers closed, like, Rock Block Guitars, I think, is gone. Like, all that stuff went away. And, like, what have they done with that area? And they've tried to close Exit Inn, like, a bunch of times. Just like that's a section of Nashville that needs to be left alone.
I totally agree. And some of these iconic venues need to be left alone. And there are others that come along. And, you know, like this place, a place called Sal's Rock Block that was down there that's now gone. But, it, you know, so one night I went there and saw a White Lion. I saw a great
White Lion.
You know, it was a great show. I mean, it was like 1987, 88. I mean, those were great shows that came there. And it was a iconic venue. And I get it. I get why they're no longer here, but I don't have to like it. I understand
sure,
but I don't have to like it.
Sure. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're up and running here on a Tuesday. Our question of the day, the best concert that you have ever been to. We'll get some of those answers coming up next. Plus, what will the Titans do at quarterback? There's a former quarterback that has some ideas. And he talked to Jared last week of the Super Bowl. We'll discuss that and much more here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game here on this Tuesday. Our question of the day, what's the best concert you have ever been to? I've been to a few Jimmy Buffett concerts that were pretty darn good. You say Van Halen in 84?
On this day, February 11th, 1984, Municipal Auditorium.
So is that the tour for the album 1984 or had it?
It is.
Okay.
Yep, and they played Knoxville the night before and came to Nashville. And I'm telling you, man, the biggest band in the world. I mean, how often do you get the chance for that to happen? And it was just an amazing time with so many people. Autograph opened for Van Halen. They got through half a song before they got booed. And the greatest moment of that night before Van Halen got the stage is that a friend of mine flipped a pizza cardboard box, the top of it, like a Frisbee, at the band, and we were in the upper deck. And it basically toured, and there are hundreds of witnesses for this. It kind of toured the entire Municipal Auditorium. At the last second, took straight off to the stadium and hit the guitar player in the head.
Good job.
And they walked off. They were done. I mean, everybody was – but it felt – I mean, it's Autograph. You know, turn up the radio. They were okay, but nobody –
I like Autograph.
Nobody came to see them, and it was just an amazing moment. So 41 years ago tonight –
Well, we have a ton of answers, but of course now my computer and the text line wants to freeze up on me, so I can't read any of them. I don't know if you have it pulled up.
The JoJo's up right here.
All right,
2097 says, my favorite show was Rush when I saw them. Well nice. Done. 1430, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Austin, Texas. 1258, Lenny Kravitz at Starwood.
And, I bet that was good.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. He's a tiny guy, too, man. Really, Pink Floyd, 1994 at Vanderbilt Stadium. I remember that, but I don't remember that.
Vanderbilt Stadium used to get a ton of shows.
They got U2 in 2011 when they came in there. Rolling.
Didn't they melt the turf?
They did. They got a brand new turf that they put in. Lenny, Rolling Stones, Indianapolis Motor Speedway, July 4th, 2015. 20 feet from the stage, Mick was electric, and I danced the entire show.
I was at that show. at Indianapolis. My only time I've been to Indianapolis Motor Speedway was that show.
You're just now telling us this?
Yeah, I guess.
6240, Ronnie James Dio, Sacred Heart Tour, Nashville, 1985. God, I bet that was loud. Oh, yeah. And all there. So just keep them coming. 615-737-1025.
Ronnie James Dio.
He's no longer with us.
That's what I thought.
He is no longer with us. So keep him coming here. It's always fun on a gloomy day to talk about things in the past that made us happy based off that Van Halen concert. All right, Chase, you have something.
Yes. So last week, you know, Jared had a ton of great guests on Radio Row in New Orleans at the Super Bowl. And one of them that I was really interested in him talking to is Rich Gannon. Of course, the former quarterback of the Raiders, a former NFL MVP, played in a Super Bowl. Beat the Titans in the AFC Championship game back in 2002 when the Raiders went to the Super Bowl. And so he talked to Rich Gannon and kind of asked his opinion on what to do at quarterback. And I want to see what you think about what Rich had to say about the Titans situation.
I think it's an easy decision for me because I don't have time. Like, just given the current climate of the NFL and how we fire coaches every year, we fired 10 coaches in the first year in the last 10 years.
Yeah, Brian almost didn't make it out of this year.
So if I'm that guy, do I really want to draft a young quarterback that I'm not quite sure about, okay, and roll for 24 months and lose a lot of games and go through the turmoil and the struggles and the adversity and maybe lose my job? Or am I going to bring in somebody who's already been through that, who's already been through the fires and who's a little bit more refined, a little bit more prepared, a little bit more ready? So to me, it's either Sam Darnold or Daniel Jones. Out of the guys you gave me, that's my choices. It's and make a decision. It's one or the other. That's it.
So
I'm not going down. Mac Jones doesn't work for me. Justin Fields doesn't work for me. It ain't going to work for Brian Callahan or Bill either. It's between those two guys. There's your answer.
So what do you think about that? That's Rich Gannon of what the Titans should do at quarterback.
I absolutely love it. Why put your future in a guy who's never played a down in the National Football League? Find the bridge, win games, get confidence, build around that, and go. Perfectly said. That is perfectly said by Rich Gannon.
So do you think? Here's what's interesting, and I guess Rich Gannon's probably a case study on this too. That you got, like, we saw this resurgence of Sam Darnold this past year. Now he had to go through the turmoil with the Jets. He goes to Carolina, then he goes and he's a backup for a year in San Francisco in Shanahan's system, and then we saw what he did this year with Minnesota. And I believe that, you know, he was in the right system, which was, you know, basically the Shanahan system, and had the right coach. Now, you know, and we've seen other examples of these quarterbacks that, you know, weren't very good to start because they were probably rushed into it, and then they have a resurgence. Is Daniel Jones going to be one of those guys? I mean, Daniel Jones had a pretty good year, good enough to get him a contract that, you know, the Giants then 2 years later got out of. So I kind of feel like we're seeing this trend in the NFL. I don't like it. It worries me. I mean, are you, you know, because you're definitely taking a flyer, even though this guy has experience. But if the Titans sign Daniel Jones, you know, you're going to have one group that's like, okay, let's see what Brian Callahan can do. And the other group that's going to be like, did you not watch him with the Giants?
That's the problem. You've seen, I mean, he won a playoff game.
Sure.
And looked great doing that into the 22 season, and then looked terrible last year. Of course, he had Saquon was gone, but
yeah.
I think Titans fans would revolt if you got Daniel Jones, because all you're going to do is remember how bad he was. That's it. That's all you remember for that. I know, Sam Darnold, are you going to pay him $30 million a year? I don't know.
No.
With that, plus Sam Darnold had a pretty good offensive line, decent running game, best receiver in football. Pretty good tight end. I mean, there are a lot of pieces around him. He doesn't have that here. So I wouldn't drop $30 million on Sam Darnold when you don't have those pieces around here. I'd find somebody a little bit lower cost like that. And maybe it is a Daniel Jones. I don't know.
Gonna,
it's tough, man.
I'm going to name off quarterbacks. Just say yes or no. If you would be interested or not. Daniel Jones.
Yes.
Sam Darnold.
No.
Kirk Cousins.
No.
Mac Jones.
Yes.
Matt Stafford.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers.
Absolutely.
Okay. So only one of those, really, one or two, you said no to. I mean, that's where the Titans are at. Like, you can't be picky. And the quarterback, I mean, we've said it enough that the quarterback class this year is very meh. and the top two, you know, there could be, you know, you have some that are like, well, you know, Shador Sanders, there's some upside there, but, you know, maybe it's more the floor, and then Cam Ward, the ceiling's a little higher and all that stuff. So, I mean, you're kind of, it's really a toss up any way you go.
No, it is. And I'm with you to all this. I don't know, Aaron Rodgers, maybe in my crazy, weird world, he wants a chance to go out, a little redemption. Like, I don't want to end it like I did with the Jets. Give me 2 years in Nashville, see what I can do. I already got Calvin Ridley, you know, it's a pretty good receiver. You know, get a few other pieces right in there and see what you can do. I'm fine with it. At least I'd be interested in watching the games.
Yeah.
And you got a quarterback who's won a Super Bowl, who's got still got a pretty damn good arm. He's hit 40. You know, immediately when you hit the calendar, hits 40, like, all right, I'm done, you're terrible. It doesn't happen that way anymore. These guys are fit, they're in shape, they're strong, everything. I would bring him in. I don't see the problem of bringing him in and let him try to breed that quote-unquote bridge guy. No, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers.
I'll take Matthew Stafford in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I mean, look, Stafford's 37. I would definitely take him. Rodgers, I wouldn't say no, but you also have to understand what you're going to get with him.
Yes.
I mean, you're going to get a bit of a headache with him. That's just that's him. Now, maybe this Jets situation has humbled him a little bit, but I mean, this is what I know. If I know I'm going to get Aaron Rodgers, that he doesn't even have to be peak Aaron Rodgers, but give me Aaron Rodgers, you know, from 2 years ago when he left the Packers, he's not even the MVP. You give me him, and you know that, you know, you can say to him, like, hey, we're not going to bring all your buddies. Now, if Devontae Adams wants to come with you, we'll talk about that. But, you know, you're not going to get Lazard and, you know, all these people with you. But you get him and maybe Devontae, and you put him in this system with Brian Callahan. You got Calvin Ridley. You got a good run game. You have to fix the offensive line. And then you got draft a receiver, even if you do bring in somebody like Devontae Adams. Okay. I'm intrigued by that. It's not the long-term fix, but it's a Band-Aid right now that might be a pretty good Band-Aid.
Like, I'm all for it.
That's a big if.
I'm not a Darnold fan, because I just saw, I mean, when you get all the pieces around you, yeah, you're going to be great. But Aaron Rodgers could come here, and maybe you get inspired as Aaron Rodgers. You come in here, and he says all the right things and does all the right things, and it's better than you possibly imagine. Remember, all you got to do is be better than three other teams. That's it. It's all you got to do. You're already probably better than the Jags, and you're probably even with the Colts, and get better than the Texans and win that. I think Aaron Rodgers helps you. And look, people are like, well, I'm not spending that money. It's not your money. It's not your money. So bring him in here. Let's have some fun. My gosh, let's have some fun with this guy and see what he can do. You never know. It might turn out far better than we ever imagined. We won't know until we get on the train.
615-737-1025, 7701. Johnny from Mount Juliet says, ideally, they will trade back and get more draft capital while getting important pieces that we'll need regardless of the quarterback. But as a Titans fan who lives in perpetual frustration with the decisions that are or are not made by this organization, I'm expecting them to screw this up and would rather than draft a quarterback and then go into a season without the answer at that position. That brings us to something that I heard Paul Kuharsky throw out there this morning on, you know, potential, and we're in what-if season, right? What if the Titans do trade back from number one overall? We'll discuss that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe on this Tuesday. Also, we'll get back to our question of the day, the best concert you have ever been to. We're presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. And also, tune in tonight as Vandy Men's Basketball takes on the number one team in the land, the Auburn Tigers at Memorial Gym, with a 6 o'clock tip. Pregame coverage starting at 5:30. Vanderbilt Men's Basketball is presented by Athletes Unlimited Pro Basketball, coming to Nashville's Municipal Auditorium now through March 2nd. Go to auprobasketball.com for more details and to purchase tickets.
Well, first of all, it is early in the process. Tennessee Titans have basically a new front office with Mike Borgonti, the general manager, still going through the process of learning each other and figuring out where they want to go. But my understanding is they are open to trading the number one overall pick, which, if that is true, they are going to get offers. It is a year where, first of all, it doesn't feel like there's right now or there's going to be a consensus on the quarterback. Some people really like him. Some people like him in a certain system. Some people not as much. Because it's all over the map, you're going to get teams who really, really want to trade up, and other teams are like, I hope everyone trades up so I can get a great pass rusher or a great corner slash receiver or whatever it ends up being. We also don't know, the Tennessee Titans, who also do need a quarterback, what do they think of the top guys? Is Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders someone they believe to be their franchise quarterback? If it is, then there's no point in having this conversation. If they aren't sure, then this is what we're going to be talking about for the next 4 months. Going to be fascinating to get to Indianapolis, see where all this lands, see everyone in person, really begin the process of figuring out where the Titans go from here.
That was Ian Rapoport earlier on the NFL Network. I think it was yesterday that he was on the NFL Network. Is now the speculation on what the Titans will do at number one overall. 615-737-1025. It's Chase and Big Joe. And we're going to basically have 3.5 months of this until they actually make a move. Now, I have been saying it, you know, and I think you've kind of been saying it too, Joe, of if you get the right dance partner, go ahead and move back. Get more draft picks. They need draft capital. They need to build through the draft. And Mike Borgonzi said it, Chad Brinker said it, that they want to have, you know, top 100 picks because that's the best opportunity to build through the draft. And so there's all these different draft simulators and all these things that you can do to see what the Titans have available and could do. And so you're going to have a ton of that between now and the actual draft.
No, I think you have now, you have the number one pick. You have the ace. I mean, you've got it now. What are you going to give me for it? And then I'm telling you, you go back and watch these teams, and Borgonzi was part of this. You build the team probably 80% through the draft. I mean, that's you build that team. And now gobble up draft choices. Get the bridge quarterback for 2 years. Gobble up draft choices. Build the foundation, and then go find your quarterback. I think it's pretty simple. It's pretty cut and dry now what you need to do. John Robinson did it 9 years ago. He knew the value with that number one pick held. Trade out of it, get draft choices, and build, build, and build. You got to. But the key, the quarterback, but again, find a team that's willing to give up the farm, and some will because they always do, and you'll find that. And then build, and it's good to go. I think the Titans now are in a great position. Now that you've put aside Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward and not worried about that nonsense, get the bridge quarterback, gobble up draft choices, and go from there. I think if you're not on board with that, then I don't know where you stand.
So speaking of giving up the farm, Paul Kuharsky of PaulKuharsky.com, of course, who's been in for Robbie Stanley this week on Robbie and Rex Road, he and Joe discussed that this morning. In this potential draft scenario,
to Pro Football Network's mock draft simulator. And I had written about this previously, which you could read at paulkuharsky.com, like how accurate are these trades? How realistic are the trades that they offer you? And broke that down. So you could read that separately. But I went here and offered a trade to the Rams to go from 1 to 26. Huge.
Huge
jump.
Remind me real fast when Jeff Fisher traded with John Robinson, that was.
They went to 16.
16.
And then they went back up to eight.
Initially 16. So this
John
is 10,
Robinson.
10 spots more than that. And that was a haul.
That was a haul. So I got number 26, number 90, number 100 this year, and the Rams' first round pick, second round pick, and fifth round pick next year.
So by my count, that is an addition of 4 top 100 picks.
Correct.
That's 4 90, more than you would have had.
And a first and a second next year. I mean, that's a pretty damn big haul. And with 26, you and I talked through it in the break, and we settled on Shamar Stewart, the edge rusher from Texas A&M. And at 35, I still got Trey Harris, a wide receiver from Ole Miss. Then I stopped paying attention and just let it fill in. So, Shamar Stewart and Trey Harris with the first two picks.
SEC, baby.
Plus all of this draft bounty. I mean, I don't think it's a preposterous thing to consider. Now, no. We have no idea if the Rams, if this is part of what the Rams are thinking as this stuff about potentially moving on from Matthew Stafford comes in. Now, if the Titans are getting Matthew Stafford as part of this deal, changes, obviously, the calculus of the whole thing.
Boy, he'd be mad about that.
All right, so that was this morning in their conversation. And there's a couple of different parts that, you know, to kind of break it down. Moving from 1 to 26, you know, I listened to that haul. It's a pretty good haul, but I almost kind of wonder if you could get more.
Really?
I mean, look, I'm not going to complain with that haul, but it's 1. It's 1-1 and you're moving to 26. So, I mean, you're still getting, you know, you're moving back to 26. You're getting two picks in the top 100 this year. Their first and their second next year. So, I mean, that's pretty darn good. I'll give you that.
And you're not getting Stafford, right? This is straight
And you're
up.
Not getting Stafford. Now, that's the second part of this, that if I'm going to do it, then, and I'm willing to, you know, not take as much draft capital, if I'm going to do it, then Stafford, you know, is probably a part of the package. Now, I'm still getting a first-round pick. Like, I don't think he's worth a first, so... No, I still want their first round pick this year, next year coming back, but I'd be willing to talk about what a package would look like for Stafford.
Yes, I think Stafford's still got plenty in the tank. I mean, that guy got the hell beat out of him in Detroit, and he's still standing. I think he's a smart, fantastic quarterback, would be great, and I'm on board with that. If you could gobble up and get all those draft choices and get your bridge quarterback and still have a first-round choice and then get their choice next year, I think it's great. I mean, look, you got to start somewhere. And drafting a quarterback at number one ain't going to do it. It's just not going to happen. You don't have the pieces in place to get it done. So, again, trade out of that, gobble things up, and go forward with all this. They know what they're going to do. Build through the draft. Don't draft injured players. It's not hard.
So Jeff on Twitter has said, Raiders will pay for Sanders. Get as many picks as possible. Trade Simmons for picks also. Tear it completely down. By the time this team is good again, Simmons will be on the downside of his career. We've talked about that. I don't think that's preposterous. And if you can talk Vrabel and the Patriots into taking Simmons, now they're not going to give you the fourth overall pick for him, but if you can get something. A second – you know, or something like that, you know, for Simmons, I'm willing to listen to it. I kind of agree that, you know, they're not going to fix this thing in a year. Now, I know there are, you know, everybody's going to look at Washington and go, well, Washington kind of did it. They got lucky because they hit on the quarterback. I don't think, I mean, unless you get a really, really good bridge guy and you fix that offensive line, I don't think the Titans are going to be as lucky. I just don't, because everything they're saying is they're going to do this the right way and rebuild through the draft.
Would you take a fourth round from the Patriots for Jeffrey Simmons?
Straight up?
Straight up. Paul Abdul, baby.
No.
Okay.
No.
I would, I'd help him pack.
I would think about a third. But nah, you need a higher. I think you need a higher pick than that.
All right, for third, would you go straight up?
I'd consider it.
You'd consider it.
I
don't play hardball with me, pal. I know where you live.
I mean, the contract. I don't know, man. Yeah, I would do it.
Okay.
Reluctantly, but I would do it.
Again, I mean, what if you go? I mean, if you come out like Paul was talking about, all these draft choices this team gets. I mean, you could replenish a lot of things, and if you hit on half of them,
here's the thing though, and you might push back on this. Jared and I were talking about this last week, and I brought up the, you know, try and get Vrabel to take Simmons, you trade Simmons, and he was like, well, look, I don't necessarily disagree with that, but then guess what you're going to do? You're going to turn around and you're going to go, even though Simmons has not been the player, he's not lived up to the contract. You're still going to turn around and go try and find a player like Jeffrey Simmons. So that's where you kind of have to ask yourself, what's it worth to let him go? I know he's not the all-star, but he's still pretty good. Like, he's not a bad player by any means. So
is he worth $19 million to do that?
No.
Yeah.
But again, you know, you have to also kind of sit there and look yourself in the mirror if you're the Titans and decide, what are we going to be? Like, are we good with rebuild and being bad? Which is probably the answer. That is the answer. There's no probably. That is the answer. But you have to come to terms with that. And they haven't been willing to come to terms with that. And so if you're coming to terms with, we're going to be bad, this is going to take a while, and you're going to, but you tell Amy and everybody's on board with that. And it's like, look, we have to stick to the plan. If everybody's on that page, then you trade him, because then you're basically just saying, we're going to go find his replacement that's younger, but we're going to suck until we do. And that goes for a bunch of different positions.
I mean, we know what we'd like to do, but what they're going to do is going to be far different than anything that we've thrown out there. So I do think you need to trade the first pick. I do think you need to get a bridge quarterback, and then you build from there. And I think you go after maybe one, maybe two guys in free agency, big, big time, and then you just shut your mouth and then go, because you were a disaster last year signing those guys who didn't play, injured, or whatever happened to them. I would just shut your mouth and now build through the draft. You know, okay. Just go.
There's something that has now popped up on the text line that I heard on Jared's show yesterday. I know we have a call that Dr. Crane can play, and I do not understand it. I know where it's coming from, but I don't understand it. We will talk about that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, here on this Tuesday. We're going to feed you here before we get out of this hour. So be listening for your chance to win some food to Salsaritas. Going to be good. Taking your calls, taking your texts, talking about the Titans and the what they need to do with the number one overall pick. And a couple of different things before we play this clip. Mike in Lebanon says, I don't want to make any deals that would help the Patriots. I understand that, but you have to worry about yourself. You can't worry about what it does for other teams. If you as an organization, meaning Borgonzi and Brinker, and then you throw Callahan in there too, are making these moves, they have to be, they can't worry about what it's going to do for the Patriots. You can't worry about sending Jeffrey Simmons to New England and think he's going to just, you know, hurt you. And he might. I mean, Titans fans are still recovering from A.J. Brown. I get it. But if it helps the Tennessee Titans, then you got to make the move. And you can't worry about what it does for other teams. You agree with that?
Oh, I agree. I mean, when you trade somebody, good riddance, goodbye. They're not doing you any value, so who cares what they do on another team? I mean, are you mad? A.J. Brown scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. You couldn't control that. Yeah, it hurts a little bit. But, yeah. I mean, it's over and done and moved on.
I wasn't mad he scored a touchdown.
But sure.
I wasn't mad DeAndre Hopkins scored a touchdown either, but for other reasons. Anyway, this was a call yesterday on Stillman & Company. We even just got a text about this. Tell me what you think of this.
Figure out why we want to spend half of our cap on anyone to be mediocre. And if we're building a team, if we want to trade back and we want to, and maybe you can spend some time on this on another day, you don't have to answer it today maybe, but I'm just saying, I don't get the bridge quarterback. I don't get spending 20, 30 million on a quarterback to get 7 or 8 wins.
Well, a bridge quarterback is not a 20 or 30 million dollar proposition. Like, Jacoby Brissett is a bridge quarterback. That's an $8 million signing. Who are you talking about that's $20 or $30 million as a bridge quarterback?
I'm hearing the Aaron Rodgers thing, just hearing Aaron Rodgers coming, and that would be like, to me, it'd be a nightmare, because I think at worst, you know, you're going to get 3-4 wins. You could get 7-8 wins. And I wouldn't mind if they maybe traded back with New England and try to get Milton in. That might be something to do, but there's a
you want Joe Milton to play quarterback for the Titans.
I mean, like, if you swap picks and get something for it, maybe. I mean, as
so hold
a
on.
Bridge quarterback,
so you would trade. So hold on. Let me. I just Bradley. I want to make sure I hear this clearly.
Yeah.
So you want to trade from number one to number four and get Joe Milton in return
and something else. Well, maybe a third to replace the third that we don't have. I would say that maybe that might be something. And
okay.
That there's a.
So I'm going to stop you there. Nick, if you could, and I appreciate your call, Bradley, for Joe Milton, and a third. That is wild.
Okay. So that is wild. Wes in Clarksville texts in and says, trade Simmons for a fourth round pick and Joe Milton. What am I missing? What is this obsession with Joe Milton? He's not that good. He's got a rocket arm. He can throw it to the moon. But if you lined up, you know, 18 beer cans, he couldn't hit one of them. What are we talking about? I mean, yeah, he can throw it. He's got a cannon, but half the time he's gonna be looking for Calvin Ridley, and it's gonna end up in the fourth row
or in the river, right?
Yeah, or in the river. So, like, I mean, I don't understand this obsession with Joe. I mean, it's Vols fans, I get it, but like, come on, Joe Milton is not a starting quarterback in the National Football League.
No, he's not. No, that's great. You can want all day long, but you talk about winning three games. You might not even get that. He's just not. If he was that good, he'd be starting for the Patriots right now, and he's not. Right. So that's it. What? Oh, I love people sometimes, man.
I couldn't resist. Coming up next, really excited to talk to our next guest. Rick Stockstill was the longtime head coach at MTSU. He coached Reed Blankenship, who just won the Super Bowl with the Eagles. We'll get his thoughts on that and just catch up with Coach Stock. We'll do that next. But first, we're going to give away some food. Are you hungry, Joe?
Always, yeah.
Yeah, me too. The first two callers, Dr. Crane, will give away yesterday's and today's. The first two callers will win a catering voucher from Salsarita's Fresh Mexican Grill, located at 2515 West End Avenue in the heart of Vandy Country. They came to our station last week. It's excellent. We had it. It's so good. And you will get a catered meal that will feed up to 10 people, authentic Mexican flavors, dine-in, pick-up, delivery, and catering. Just go to salsaritas.com. The first two callers will win a catering voucher from Salsarita's Fresh Mexican Grill. 615-737-1025. Rick Stockstill next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.